6 months ago, we did a service similar to this on a Sunday evening, where I took a couple of the psalms that had been put to music from R.J. Stevens' songbook and looked a little bit at the psalms themselves, the particular psalms, and then sang those songs. As Keith indicated, they will be on the screen, the lyrics only, with a familiar tune, and the tune will be noted on the screen. So we're going to conduct our service this evening around five psalms from the Book of Psalms. Book of Psalms is broken into five books. All five books of the Psalms on which we're going to center our attention this evening are in the fifth book in the Book of Psalms. The fifth book of Psalms is comprised of Psalms 107 through 150. To make things more complex, Psalms 113 to 150 make up three sets of what are called the Hallel Psalms. The Hebrew word Hallel literally means praise. I'll get things activated in a second. It's the first part of the word Hallelujah. And the word Hallelujah means praise Jehovah, and it's frequently rendered praise the Lord. This is why these psalms are called Hallelujah Psalms, or more commonly called the Hallel Psalms or the Praise Psalms. The word Hallelujah is found only 24 times in the Old Testament, and all of those 24 times are found in the Book of Psalms. It stands at the beginning of 10 of the psalms, 106, 111 through 113, 135, 146 through 150. The word is found at the beginning and the end of Psalm 113, and I invite you to go ahead and turn to Psalm 113. That's where we're going to spend the first few minutes of our time. Psalm 113. If you've turned there, you'll notice that the word Hallelujah is not there, as I indicated. Like I said, Hallelujah is a Hebrew word, or more accurately, it's the English transliteration of the Hebrew word. If you've turned there, you'll see that Psalm 111, 112, and 113 all begin with the words, Praise the Lord. That's the translation from the Hebrew Hallelujah. The 113th psalm also ends with that same statement, begins with praise the Lord and ends with praise the Lord. And though the word Hallelujah is not found at all in the Old Testament, in most, I emphasize most, modern translations, the word is found four times in the New Testament. All four times in the New Testament where this word is found is in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation. Verses 1, 3, 4, and 6. Verse 1, for example, says, After this I heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting, Hallelujah. Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. In the King James Version and the New King James Version, the word Hallelujah doesn't appear at all in the Old Testament or the New Testament. Instead, in Revelation 19, that is just noted in verses 1, 3, 4, and 6, the word is translated Alleluia, beginning with the A. Just as Joshua is from the Greek and Jesus is the same name, from the Hebrew, and Jesus is the same name from the Greek, the word Hallelujah is translated from the Hebrew, and Alleluia, beginning with the A, is translated from the Greek. And I might just note one more thing on this little tedious introduction, that translations such as the Contemporary English Version, the New Living Translation, have neither Hallelujah nor Alleluia. All 24 times in the Psalms and each of the four places in Revelation, the word is translated, praise the Lord, instead of transliterating it to Hallelujah or Alleluia, either one. Psalm 113 through 118 make up the first of the three sets of, again, what are called the Hallel Psalms or the Praise Psalms. These six psalms, 113 through 118, are more specifically identified as the Egyptian Hallel. Psalms 120 through 136 make up the second set, and they are called the Great Hallel. And Psalms 146 through 150 being the last set are referred to as the concluding Hallel Psalms. The first set, 113 through 118, and we're going to sing 113 and a portion of 118, these were sung at the great festivals of Israel, Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles, as well as on other holy days. At Passover, Psalm 113 and 114 were sung before the Passover meal, and Psalm 115 through 18 were sung after the meal. In Matthew 26, after Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper following the Passover meal, verse 30 says that when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. So I invite you to turn with me to Psalm 113. Not ready for that yet. Psalm 113. In the 113th Psalm, the psalmist called on all of the Lord's servants everywhere to praise God, because even though he is exalted on high, he lowers himself to exalt the oppressed. Psalm 113 can be broken into three sections quite easily, and perhaps many Bible translations, it is indicated that way in a paragraph format. Verses 1 through 3, verses 4 through 6, and verses 7 through 9. In verses 1 through 3, the psalmist summoned the servants of the Lord to praise the Lord's name, he says, for it is worthy of praise at all times. Three times, once in each of these verses, the psalmist calls attention to the name of the Lord. Reading verses 1 through 3, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, you his servants, praise the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be praised, both now and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Verses 4 through 6 state emphatically that the Lord is sovereign over everything. The psalmist then asks the rhetorical question, who is like the Lord our God, in verse 5. He then notes that the Lord is exalted in his rule. He is enthroned on high, yet he has accommodated himself to the needs of his people. He stoops down, says the New International Version, or he humbles himself, says the New King James, to consider the things on the earth. Verses 4 through 6, the Lord is exalted over all the nations. His glory is above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, the one who sits enthroned on high? Who stoops down or humbles himself to look on the heavens and the earth? In verses 7 through 9, the psalmist declares that the Lord takes care of the needs of the poor and the needy by moving them from being outcasts of society to having a position of prominence. A barren woman in ancient society was a social outcast. However, the goodness of the Lord extends to blessing his people with children. Notice again that the psalm concludes with the phrase, praise the Lord, again translated from the Hebrew hallelujah, verses 7 through 9. He raises the poor from the dust, and he lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes, with the princes of his people. He settles the childless woman in her home as a happy mother of children. Praise the Lord. Psalm 118. Psalm 118 is a call to thanksgiving. The song that we're going to sing based on this psalm focuses only on verses 22 through 29, and so I'll limit my comments and the reading to that section. Verses 22 through 29 are clearly messianic. They clearly refer to the Messiah, to Jesus Christ. The New Testament writings make that abundantly clear. Verses 22 through 24 says, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John healed a lame man as they entered the temple. They were arrested for this, and the following day they were brought before the Sanhedrin, the Jewish Supreme Court. We begin reading in Acts chapter 4, verses 5 through 12. We're told the next day the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame, and if we are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is, here's the quote, the stone you builders rejected, which has become the chief cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Verses 25 through 29, Psalm 118 says, save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, I will exalt you. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy, or his loving kindness endures forever. There's a lot more, there's a lot that could be said about that section, but I'm going to merely point out that in verse 25, the words, save now, I pray, or some translations render it, Lord, save us, are from the Hebrew word, Hosanna. That statement followed by verse 26 is what the multitudes cried out when Jesus entered Jerusalem on the donkey. From Matthew 21, verses 1 through 9, the text tells us, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. Matthew 21, verse 3 now. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them and he will send them right away. Matthew tells us this took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to Zion, your daughter, see, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Verse 6 says, the disciples went and did as Jesus instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed, the multitudes, shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Save now, we pray, if you will. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Psalm 136. This psalm is often referred to as the Great Hallel. The structure of the psalm suggests that it was used antiphonally in worship. This means that part of the congregation would make a statement, then the other part of the congregation would respond with the refrain. A refrain is a repeated line in a poem or a song. In verses 1 through 3, the psalmist called the congregation to thank the Lord because he is the God of gods and the Lord of lords. And as we've noted, the refrain is there again and again, depending on your translation. His loyal love endures forever. His mercy endures forever. His loving kindness lasts forever, depending on your translation. This phrase expresses the reason for praising the Lord. Verses 1 through 3, O give thanks to the Lord, For he is good, for his mercy or his loving kindness endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. Verses 4 through 9 form the next section of the psalm. This section is sometimes referred to as the creation hymn. Since God alone is God and King, he alone is worthy to be praised for his great wonders. His work of creation reveals his great understanding. And though God's creation on earth reflects great glory, his work in space has always seemed quite overwhelming. Heaven with the sun and the moon affects life on earth, and so even that is evidence of God's goodness to all who are on the earth. Verses 4 through 9, to him who alone does great wonders. Here's the echo, the refrain, for his mercy endures forever. To him who by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endures forever. To him who laid out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endures forever. To him who made great lights, for his mercy endures forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endures forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endures forever. In verses 4 through 9, the psalmist expressed that God's marvelous wonders in creation are the reason why he is worthy to be praised. Verses 10 through 24 are sometimes referred to as the redemption hymn. In these verses, the psalmist noted that God is worthy to be praised because of his aid, his assistance, his help to Israel. And so, beginning with the 10th plague in Egypt, the death of the firstborn, the psalmist takes us through more than 40 years of history as God brings his people out of Egypt and into the land of Canaan. Verses 10 through 24. I'll leave out the... Should I do that? I won't. Verse 10 beginning, to him who struck Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endures forever, and brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endures forever. With a strong hand and with an outstretched arm, for his mercy endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea in two, for his mercy endures forever, and made Israel pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endures forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, for his mercy endures forever. Starting in verse 16, I'll read the first portion and the congregation respond. To him who led his people through the wilderness, to him who struck down great kings, and slew famous kings. Sihon, king of the Amorites. And Og, king of Bashan. And gave their land as a heritage. A heritage to Israel, his servant. Who remembered us in our lowly state and rescued us from our enemies. Verse 25 is seen as returning to a reflection of God's goodness as creator. His love is evident and he continually cares for his creatures, his whole creation, not just Israel. And verse 26 concludes the hymn on a note of thanksgiving. Verse 25, who gives food to all flesh, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever. Psalm 145. Psalm 145. This is the only psalm in the Psalter, the only psalm in the book of Psalms that's entitled a psalm of praise or a praise of David. Starting with this psalm and going through the end of the book of Psalms, Psalms 145 through 150, The word praise occurs 46 times. It calculates out to almost 8 times a chapter if you divide them evenly, which they're not divided evenly. But in Psalm 145, David praised the Lord for his mighty acts, acts which are told from one generation to another. He praised the Lord for his gracious provision of an everlasting kingdom. And he praised the Lord for the manner in which he responds to those who love him. So the psalm can be broken into 3 sections. Verses 1 through 7, praise for God's mighty acts. Verses 8 through 16, praise for God's everlasting kingdom. And verses 17 through 21, praise for God's acts of deliverance. Reading the psalm, I will extol you, my King, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all those who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in the season, in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever. Psalm 148. Psalm 148. The 148th Psalm calls on all of creation and all of God's creatures to praise him. Similar refrain that we see here again. In verses 1 through 4, the psalmist called all of heaven and its hosts to praise the Lord. Verses 5 and 6 explain why the Lord should be praised. The psalmist says that all creation should praise the Lord because he created all of it by command, and he has established it all by his decree. Verses 1 through 6, I'll read at this time. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. Praise him, you heaven of heavens, heavens of heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He has also established them forever and ever. He has made a decree which shall not pass away. In verses 7 through 12, the psalmist called on all creatures on earth to praise the Lord. And then in verses 13 through 14, the psalmist states that one reason all creatures should praise him is that his name alone is exalted. His name alone is glorious. Verses 7 through 14, praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all the depths, fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven, and he has exalted the horn of his people. The praise of all his saints, of the children of Israel, a people near to him, praise the Lord. It seemed to me like a good idea to dedicate the last Lord's Day worship service of the church in this year to praise and exaltation of God in Scripture and in song.